Psalm chapter 4 tonight. It's good to be saved, ain't it? Amen. The only thing I can think of that's better than being saved is knowing it. And that's what God wants us to do, amen, is to know. These things that are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Psalm chapter 4, one verse, verse 4, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. I got up this morning and I said, Lord, I don't know exactly what you want for the service tonight. And Brother Coulter, sometimes it takes the Lord a while to get through to my old thick head and get down into my heart. But I had no more than breathed the words. The Lord pointed my heart to the book of Ruth. I want you to turn to the book of Ruth with me tonight. And I want to give you some things that's just a little synopsis of the book of Ruth. How the Lord spoke to my heart about standing in awe. I read through the book of Ruth. The tears ran like a river. I love it when the Word of God is alive, don't you? When the Word of God is real. And I know what it is both ways. I know what it is to read because it's a duty. At times, Brother Coulter, in my Christian life, out of fellowship with God, but I still try and do the right thing. Cold, dead, dry. But I also know what it is to be in tune. Does anybody know what I just said? Just seemed like every word just jumping off the page at you. Amen. I stand in awe tonight in the book of Ruth. Let me give you some truths tonight. I don't have time to read the whole book. I hope you'll go home and read the whole book. But I want to touch on some things tonight in the book of Ruth. The Bible said it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. Do you remember the days when the judges ruled? The book of Judges finishes up with a verse. In those days there was no king in Israel. This will remind you of politics today. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. I tell you, it's amazing to me. You've got fellas standing today that the last time a president was impeached was saying just the opposite of what they're saying today. You know what they're doing? They're doing what's right in their own eyes because there's only one right and wrong. Amen? So they just check the wind, and whichever way the wind's blowing, that's the way they're going. This is the setting in the book of Ruth. It came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons. His name was Elimelech. The name of his wife was Naomi. And the name of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. I want you to watch these words now. There's a progression here. They went to sojourn. Then they continued. And then the Word of God says down here in a few verses, they were there in verse number 4, the end of the verse, they dwelled there about 10 years. I believe there's people that's gotten out of sorts with God. They didn't mean to be out of church for 10 years. It started out they're just going to miss a service or two. I'll tell you the way it normally starts. This ain't going to come on Sunday night no more. Or this ain't going to come on Wednesday. Folks, I'm going to tell you tonight, you better be careful. I know I'm preaching to the cream of the crop, honey, but it won't be long. It'll be every other Sunday morning. And it won't be long. You'll be like a lot of people in America, Easter and Christmas. Our Lord deserves better than that. Amen. What I want to say this tonight, first of all, in my heart, I stand in awe of how God can turn things around. The Word of God said right here, Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. In verse 4, they took them wives of the women of Moab. First of all, they weren't supposed to go to Moab. That was God's washpot. Second of all, they weren't supposed to marry Moabitish women. You say, preacher, do you mean God can take something that wasn't supposed to be. I turn it around. Hallelujah. That's exactly what I mean. Amen. Rahab wasn't supposed to be a harlot, but she's in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God turned it around. That's standing all tonight. Watch this. The Word of God said in verse 5, and Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughter-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people and given them bread. I want to say something tonight. I believe this with all my heart as I looked at this and read it and studied it today. I believe that Naomi had a longing in her heart a long time before she ever left Moab. You say, preacher, why do you believe that? There was something in her life that caused Ruth to say this. I want your people to be my people. I want your God to be my God. In chapter number 1, what I'm seeing tonight is, and I'm amazed and standing off how God can turn things around. I see a woman that's got the right faith. That's Naomi. That's Ruth. Ruth says, I'm going to go with you. Look what it said in verse 16. She said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen, Naomi, listen, I believe it's possible that she didn't have much to do with this decision. That Elimelech said, we're going to Moab. There's bread there. We don't want to starve to death here in Israel. I said, it's possible. I don't know this for sure, but it looks to me like home is in her heart. Nothing holding her there now. You've got two sons married to Moabitish women. You'd want to stay around, amen? But there's nothing holding her there now, and she's going home. What I love about the story tonight, both of these ladies, both of her daughter-in-laws kissed her. Both of them said they wanted to go with her. That's it right there, Brother Larry. That's what a lot of people are doing. They say they want to serve Jesus. But honey, one of them had it down in her heart and said, I'm going with you. Don't ask me to stay here. And she went. And God blessed her in a mighty way. I stand in awe of how that God can turn things around. I believe he specializes in it. That night when I met him in faith, he turned my life around. Somebody said to Glory, said, are you all right? I said, yeah, I'm all right. I said, before I met Jesus, I was all wrong, but I'm all right now. Say amen. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? You're sinless. No, but there's a part of me that you can't see tonight that's perfect, spotless, holy in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all right. All right. That's the part, beloved, that's going to heaven. This old flesh ain't going. I'm glad, thank God. One preacher was preaching a funeral. I don't think he meant for it to come out like this. But he was trying to tell the people about the difference between this old carcass, this old body, and the soul and the spirit that's down on the inside. He went, looked down at the casket, and he said, folks, this down here is just the shell. He said, the nut went to heaven. I wouldn't advise trying that, Brother Larry, in a funeral service. Amen. That's probably an old country boy that was just trying to get his point across. Amen. The inside part. I don't know about you, but when I get in a walnut, I ain't interested in eating a shell. I want that heart, that what's down on the inside. I like them pistachios, just in case anybody wanted to know. Amen. Chapter number 2. Just a little synopsis tonight of the book of Ruth. I stand in awe of how God can turn things around. I put in parentheses the right faith. Secondly, tonight, I stand in awe. Boy, I love this. Every man of God I know loves this. But every child of God ought to love this. I stand in awe of how that God can put you right where you need to be. In parentheses, Brother Steve, I put the right field. There are all kinds of fields in Israel. But God put Ruth right where she needed to be. I want to say this to you tonight. There may be a little risk involved in saying this. You never know. But I'll tell you this tonight. The happiest people in this world are the people that know they're right where they need to be. Amen. Only God can do that. Watch what the Bible said. Naomi had a kinsman and her husband's, and a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. That's the first time you see the word kinsman. I mean, he's glad tonight we have a kinsman. His name's Jesus. A kinsman redeemer, amen. We'll look at that a little bit after a while. And the Bible said, and Ruth the Moabite has said unto Naomi, let me now get on food stamps. I don't believe that's what it said. If you're on food stamps and you need to be on food stamps, then that's good. But if you're on food stamps and you're able to go out in the field and work, then that's not good. That's Bible. If a man don't work, he shouldn't eat. That's the Word of God. There's a difference in not being able to work and refusing to work and expecting. And by the way, beloved, our country's headed that way. It'd only take one election right now to be going whole hog towards socialism. I'll remind you what Adrian Rogers said in 1984, I believe. I read this quote. He said, friend, he said, the government cannot give you anything that it does not first take from someone else. And he said, when half of the people in a nation get the idea, I don't have to work because somebody's going to take care of me, and the other half get the idea, what's the use to work because somebody's going to take it from me? He said, that, dear friend, is about the end of any nation. I'm going to tell you something tonight. I thank God tonight. I stand in awe, beloved. This the Bible said, her half. Look in verse number 3. She went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers and her half. What I'm looking at tonight is the providence of God. Beloved, he saw a young lady that had a heart for God, that had a heart for her mother-in-law, and said, I want your God to be my God. I want your people to be my people. And she gets out of the house and goes to the field to do what she can to support the household. Watch what the Word of God said. Her half was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Let me ask you a question tonight. How many believes there's a divine order? It's taking place right here behind the scenes. God is directing the feet of Ruth into the field of Boaz. You can read the chapter, beloved. It's a beautiful chapter. Ruth is humble. The Word of God said here in verse number 8, then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field. You stay right here, Ruth. Neither go from thence, but abide here fast by my maiden. Let not thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go in unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face. I'm going to tell you something right now. There wasn't nothing in a Moabite that would cause her to fall on her face. I believe the God of Israel lived in the heart of the woman from Moab. Amen. And there's a great faith. And God puts her in the right field. And she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace? I'm going to tell you something tonight. Listen to me carefully. I'm not fussing tonight, but I believe it do every one of us good to get alone with God somewhere and say, God, why have I found grace? Amen. Not take it for granted. Not act like he owes us something. Amen. I tell you, all we deserve tonight is a home in hell forever. And thank God in his grace he came to where you were and where I am. Then he put us in the right field. I'm going to tell you something right now. My field changed when God saved me. Amen. I don't dwell in them fields that I used to dwell in. Can somebody say amen? I'm not going to brag on that mess back there. But my feet carry me to a different place tonight than where they used to carry me to. because God made a difference in my heart. Her faith had made a difference in her field. The Bible said here in verse number 11, Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, how that thou hast left thy father and thy mother. It kind of sounds like Abraham. Amen? You just picked up and left everything that you knew to be home, to follow God, her faith. Watch what the Bible said. In the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel. Look here, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Brother Larry, you're the first man since my pastor that I heard say what you said a while ago. My pastor was Brother Bud Wishon when I got saved. He was at Landmark Baptist Church in Glade Spring, Virginia. Brother Bud struggled. For years he struggled. And one day he told the Lord, he said, Lord, if I go to hell, I'm going to go to hell, trust in Jesus. And it dawned on him that that is an impossibility. You cannot go to hell, trust in Jesus. You get over in the book of Galatians and it says something like, those of you that are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. My question tonight is, who is justified by the law? Nobody. It's not somebody that was in the grace of God, then fell out of the grace of God. That's not what it's talking about. He's saying you turn your back on the grace of God for the law, then you've fallen from grace. The Word of God's telling us here, she's in the right field. Bless His name. What happens in this field? He said, under whose wings thou art come to trust. I believe with all my heart that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Brother Larry, God, my wife will tell you, my favorite track all these years has been God's Simple Plan of Salvation. It's got to be that track, brother, that you're talking about. My favorite song all these years since God saved me has been Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Beloved, here she is. She's come to trust the God of Israel. And then she said, Let me find favor in thy sight, for thou hast comforted me. Thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, that I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. And Boaz said unto her, At mealtime come thou hither, eat of the bread, dip thy morsel in the vinegar. He wanted to be close to her, and she wanted to be close to him. And God wanted them to be close to each other. And he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and sufficed, and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. See, they're supposed to be out there in the corner of the field. That's where the poor is supposed to be. You're supposed to leave the corner of the field, that they can come and glean in the corners of the field. Boaz said, That ain't good enough. You just bring her right out in the middle of the field with my maidens, and you let her glean among the sheaves. He wanted to see to it that her wagon was loaded and that it didn't wear her out doing it. Watch what the Word of God said. If that's not good enough, when I was picking beans for my grandpa, Brother Gary, I'd have loved to have found a verse like this. The Word of God said, look what it said here. And when thou hast risen up, glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. Don't you tell her she don't belong there. I said she does. Look at verse 16. And let fall. Boy, I'm going to tell you what, when I was picking beans in that field, I was getting a dime a bushel for picking beans. That's been a few years ago. Amen. But I'm going to tell you what, beloved, listen to me, Brother Colder. If I could have got behind somebody that's just going through there picking them by the handful and dropping them, I'd have followed them all the way to the other end of the row. My basket would have filled up a whole lot quicker, amen? And I wouldn't have had to bend down on my knees doing it, amen? I was bad enough as it was. My grandpa, he fussed at me. I figure if you're getting a dime a bushel and they're hanging in this place by the handful, and then they're scattered out. And then there's another handful. Best just go through there and get the handfuls. He threatened to whoop me. here was his phrase, for not picking them clean. In other words, you're supposed to get them all as you go. Amen. And I'm going to tell you tonight, here I stand amazed that God has put Ruth in the right faith and put Ruth in the right field. The Word of God said here, she took it up and went into the city. Verse 17, so she gleaned in the field until evening and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw that she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her and she had, that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, you say, preacher, why is Ruth's Naomi saying this to her? I'll tell you why. She already knew by what she had gleaned. Something ain't right here. Amen? In other words, listen to me. Ruth was new at this. Ain't that right? She was new at it. Amen? And here she comes in to Naomi. And the Word of God said here, her mother-in-law said, where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Where you been working? Blessed be he. Now, Ruth hadn't told her this. She looked at what she carried in and said, blessed is he, be he that took knowledge, that did take knowledge of thee. I'll tell you something tonight. I was sitting there in 1987, lost without God. My pastor wasn't taking knowledge because he thought I was saved. There wasn't nobody in the church taking knowledge because they all thought I was saved. But I'm going to tell you this. The God of heaven took knowledge of me that night, Brother Steve. Brother Steve, I believe you pulled a vehicle off the road. Ain't that your testimony, if I remember right, brother? He took knowledge of a man that needed to be born again. Come down, spoke to his heart, squeezed his heart, showed him his need. The Word of God said here, Naomi understands. She said, blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. That's why I think it's all right every once in a while to just say, bless the Lord. He did take knowledge of us. Amen. The Word of God said, and she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. Let me ask you a question. How many believes there's a mother-in-law right here standing in awe? I said, standing in awe. She left home, and Naomi had no idea where she was going to end up. But her hap was the light in a part of the field belonging unto Boaz. I believe tonight, if you read it like that, in other words, the field was divided up. It's a big old field. Somebody owned a portion here, somebody owned a portion there. It's what it looks like to me in the Word of God. But she lit right in the right portion. I guess some would say she was just lucky. You know what I'll say? She was blessed. I want to say this to you. Brother Steve, God didn't wait till she got in that field to take knowledge of her. When that youngin said to her mother-in-law, your God's going to be my God. Where you lodge, I'm going to lodge. Where you die, I'm going to die. And your people's going to be my people. I believe right there the God of heaven smiled from ear to ear. I believe the God of heaven took knowledge of that young lady and said, listen, young lady, you don't know it. But one day, you're going to stand in awe of what this decision is going to mean in your life. I'd like to go on tonight. I thought I'd just give you a little synopsis. I can't. There ain't no way I can cheat chapter 3 and chapter 4 and just try to cram it in a couple of minutes. But I want you to know tonight, when we read this Bible and read these stories, God's trying to help us to see. We need to stand in awe. You say, oh, preacher, that was way back when. No, 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 that's the same God that put clothes on my back, that put food on my table, that came down, Brother Larry, and squeezed my heart, caused me to know I needed Jesus. And we don't need to get away from that. We need to stand in awe and sin not. I got up Monday morning praying about what to do over to Christian school. Shoo. Bob asked me Sunday night. He took me home Sunday night. I said, pray for me in the morning. I said, I'll be preaching over to Christian school. He said, what are you preaching on, brother? I said, I don't know. He said, preacher, you shouldn't admit that. Why not just tell the truth? I didn't have any idea. But I tell you, God loaded my wagon Monday morning early. And I stood it all as those children responded. God's good. I said, God's good. All the time. Amen. You know, tonight, we prayed on Sunday that things would go well in Virginia. As far as the rally, things went well. It looks like the politicians are going to do whatever they want to do anyway. Just like some of these cities, when liquor by the drink, when the people did not want it, the politician said, you're going to get it whether you want it or not. Am I telling the truth? And I'm going to tell you something tonight. God still has a remnant. Brother Steve sent me a little article the other day, couple different articles. One was concerning where you can scan your hand to buy something. Hello? That ought to put a smile on our face. You say, preach, that ought to scare you to death. Now what that ought to tell you is the king's coming. It's getting set up, amen. It's getting set up. How many's glad you come tonight?